Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey is generously underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Chapter of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights, who do so much for the Catholic Church and its many and various ministries, have expanded their support to include the radio evangelization efforts of KLUX HD Radio. Our thanks to the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus for underwriting this segment of Our Shepherd's View.
Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, and today Bishop Mulvey is unable to be with us today, so we're thrilled to have Father James Stemmler, the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. On our program today, we will hear and discuss the Gospel of St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Catholic Church offers classes to help couples enter their new relationship with eyes wide open. But sometimes marriages turn sideways, and for those couples, there are marriage encounter weekends designed to help right the ship. But for marriages in serious trouble, there's Retrovi, a lifeline to couples whose marriage may be drowning and headed for separation or divorce. Husbands and wives can rediscover why they fell in love in the first place. Since 1977, tens of thousands of couples have successfully overcome their problems and kept from becoming another broken home statistic. The next Retrovi weekend begins Friday, September 22nd, here in Corpus Christi. To learn more or register right now, visit helpourmarriage.com or call 1-800-470-2230.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Father Stemmler, and welcome back to the program.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here with you.
Thank you.
And
thank
with
you.
Everyone out there.
Thank you. Appreciate you being with us today. So as I said in the intro, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place, and among his own kin, and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this Gospel reading had a lot of different messages, and as I was listening to you again read it, it seems like people are judging him on who he was before instead of who he is now.
Yes, I think that's one of the central points of this gospel passage. Jesus is returned to his native place where he grew up, and all of a sudden the people are just astonished, and where did he get all this, and we remember him when? And I think it raises an important question for all of us, namely, do we hold people to their past? you know, we remember somebody, and then a few years later they come up to us. Am I addressing the person who's standing in front of me at that moment, or am I remembering my relationship with this person years ago, and have I frozen that in time? And I think that's something we need to be very careful of. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, it is recorded that at one point Jesus refers to Peter as Satan. Well, the next time that Jesus and Peter are talking together, Jesus doesn't start, "Well, good morning, Satan, how are you?" when he's speaking to Peter. No, that was then, and now I am before Peter at this moment, so I am speaking to the human being who is standing in front of me. But how often and tempting it is to hold people to their past. I've had a number of students who I, taught or worked with in the Catholic schools who have come up to me years later. And, it's interesting. You start talking, and of course you remember maybe a thing or two that happened while they were a student. But then I'm telling myself, no, I'm not talking to that person. I'm talking to this person who's before me now. The people of Nazareth, the native place of Jesus, remember him when? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary? Was his family not with us? Did we remember him running around the streets when he was a little boy? That type of thing. That's the Jesus whom they have frozen. And here is Jesus now teaching in the synagogue, healing, doing all of this, and they can't accept that Jesus. They have difficulties with that Jesus because they've frozen Jesus to what they remember. Their memory has become, I guess I could put it this way, their memory has become their God. And that is how they are remembering him, not the person who is before them now. And they're not opening their hearts, they're not opening their minds to what Jesus is saying in the moment, because they're frozen in time. That is why I think that Jesus is not able to perform any mighty deed there. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Their lack of faith is very obvious, because they're frozen in time, if you will. They've frozen him in time. Their memory is frozen in time. They're not able to see who is before them now and not listen to who is before them now. And so they have no faith, no trust. It's very lacking. And that's something that's amazing to Jesus, their lack of faith, which I think, we need to ask ourselves from time to time, is Jesus amazed with my faith? Am I lacking here or there? I mean, it's very easy to remember people when.
It is.
And it's something it's very difficult for us not to do because our memories are alive. But I need to speak to who is before me now and, speak to that person, not to a memory. What elsewhere? Jesus says the man who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We're called to move forward. At certain moments in our lives, we've had some challenges and difficulties and maybe difficulty with relating with people, what have you. But hopefully we've learned from all of those episodes, and we're carrying that forward as we grow in faith. And so I'm a different person than I was at that moment. I'm a person who comes up to me who I haven't seen in a while. It's a different person from when I remember them. I've got to hope and pray that growth has been taking place, that we're all growing closer to God, closer to one another, and we need to understand that that's the case. if I freeze someone in time and that's how they'll always be, that's in essence judging a person and not making a final judgment on that person. There's no way they can change. That's how who they are. Well, God can work. And we need, that's why we're praying for one another. Hopefully we are. That's why we're praying for one another so that that growth can take place within us. So, yeah, I think the people of Nazareth are a good teacher in a sense to us and can cause us to ask ourselves, when I look at other people, am I holding them to a moment in the past, or am I speaking to the person who's standing before me now? I think that's a real...
That's an honest question.
Yeah, I think that's something our faith is helping us understand and hopefully understand more fully as we live out our lives.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it earlier about us opening our minds and opening our hearts. I mean, as you've been talking, I've been thinking, oh.
Yeah.
I think I've probably done some prejudging, which has been unfair to the person.
Yeah. And we need to be careful about that. I mean, judging is something that's a part of our lives. I mean, I judge that this is better than that or something like that. That's true. But As far as making a final judgment that this person can't move forward from there, that's a bit strong because, you know, God can work in a person's life. Hopefully we understand how God has worked in our lives and is still working to help us move forward. Can I say that this person, God cannot work in this person anymore? Mm-hmm. And that's a bold thing to say, that mm-hmm. God cannot work in this person anymore. So that's as far as they'll go.
Right.
I think that's a bit much.
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
Certainly is challenging, but, you know, part of life is taking the challenges as they come and in internalizing them, bringing God's love and the scripture tradition into that and helping us understand how we can move forward as creations of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what life's all about.
Right. So if God is working in our lives and has helped us move forward, we should be open to the fact that he's working in other people's lives.
Right.
Whether they have faith or whether they pray, he's working in their lives.
Right. And our prayer should be that that person continue to cooperate with the graces that God is giving them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I can't tell them what they're, you know, but to pray that they're cooperating with the graces that God is giving them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, as we said, it's a very interesting gospel in the fact that he wasn't able to perform any or very few miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the gospel readings beforehand, the people had such strong faith that he cured them, like the woman who was hemorrhaging and then the rabbi's daughter. Because and Jesus said in the very end, because of your faith, you have been healed.
Right. Yeah. What kind of faith do I have if I'm refusing to listen to and opening my mind and heart to what is being said at that moment? Who am I if I'm closing that off? What kind of faith do I have? There's no trust there at all. The only trust is in my view, my understanding, and it's back here. It's not in this moment.
It's a wonderful lesson. Thank you, Father.
Sure.
We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays
a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, just as a reminder, Bishop Mulvey was unable to be here with us today, so we are thrilled to have Father James Stembler with us, who's the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And Father Stembler, with you being here, I wanted to take this opportunity to ask you about one of the most recent happenings in the diocese, which involves so many of us, and that was the pastoral plan. And for some of our listeners who maybe remember hearing about it because it was started a couple of months ago, maybe if you could just give us a little background information and then let us know what the next steps are, how we're doing.
Okay. Well, the bishop felt he and all of us in the diocese were being called by God to take an assessment of how we are, the Diocese of Corpus Christi, at this moment in our history, how we are living that out, and maybe begin to look at some issues that we need to look at. Are we, ministering effectively? Are there areas where maybe we should focus more of our ministry on? In the past, there have been two synods in this diocese, which were more formal gatherings and formal documents and everything. And the idea now is to go through a similar process, not exactly the same, not as formal as a synod, but still just look at how we are living our understanding of who we are as the Diocese of Corpus Christi now, and are there areas we need to look at? Are there things we need to consider? We're always moving forward as a church, as people, as a diocese. And I think every so often it's good to just sit back and look and see how we're doing. In parishes where I've gone in, I've tended to put together a group. Eventually it'll become the pastoral council. And we just sort of ask questions. How is this parish being this parish at this time? We'll have a questionnaire that goes out to the people. And from that, we get some ideas and some viewpoints, and we discuss that and put together a type of plan, a five-year plan, however you want to call it, to give us a direction so we can move forward as a parish. So I think this is the same thing. This is on a diocesan scale.
It's like strategic planning.
Well, it's not exactly strategic planning because it's pastoral. How are we being a pastoral setting for the people of this diocese. So the bishop, we put together a group. We started with the priest to discuss it. This is something new for a lot of people, and so there were a lot of questions and so forth. It, all through that period, I'm reminded of the disciples in the upper room prior to Pentecost. They're all scared, so they're huddled together because Jesus is no longer here. They watched him ascend into heaven, and so they're all on their own, and what do we do, and all of this. So they're huddled in the upper room, but then on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes upon them as like fire on their heads. It's very dramatic, and they leave that room. They go forward. I mean, they don't walk out of that room looking backward and at the room. They walk out of that room moving forward. They don't have bullet points. They don't have a sheet. This is what you are to do. Jesus didn't leave anything like that, but what he left them with was a way of life, and they're being called to go out into the world and live that way of life, share that way of life throughout the whole world, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We read all of that in the different areas of the New Testament. Jesus wanted them to go forward, and so they do. And so, you know, we had no specifics. We had no this bullet points. What we have is an opportunity to just listen and see from that some patterns and some ideas that come together. And then from that, a plan is put together. That's, you know, it's collaboration. I think Pope Benedict once spoke about the importance of collaborating with a pastoral council, with councils, so we get the sense of the people. I mean, not that they're, you know, taking over, but right. By the same token, they should be given an opportunity to speak, and we listen to one another. Good dialogue is a practice of not only talking, but listening, and so that's what this pastoral plan was going to afford this diocese, the opportunity to do. And so through a series of workings with a company that is that the bishop was familiar with and an individual who came and helped guide us through this whole process, in the early part of this year, we had 6 town hall meetings throughout in parishes throughout the diocese. I was not able to make any of those myself, but my understanding from listening to people, they were very appreciative of the opportunity to be able to speak. Mm-hmm. And from that, a lot of data was gained. And then there was also focus groups like the deacons, religious, chancery staff, Latino, Hispanic group. These different focus groups were given the same opportunity, so a lot of data was gained from that. There were individual interviews that were done with certain people throughout the diocese, officials, things like that. Data was gained from that. There was also an online survey. There was a lot of talk about that. And there was quite a bit of people who...
I did that because I wasn't able to make the town halls.
Oh, that gave answers in the survey there. So all of that data, which is quite a bit, has been put together and now is being in the process of being put in some type of order. There are a lot of common themes, I understand, that are coming through. And the bishop gave some direction, you know, Church of Communion. The priests continue to form a presbyterate so that we can be good shepherds with the community, and other directions. And all of this information is being put together. And in the middle of August, we'll be having a 1.5-day summit made up of laity, clergy, religious, and from all the data that will be presented, we will be able to put together a pastoral plan. And then that will be given to the priest to look at and to perhaps fine-tune a little bit. And then it won't be a document we'll have this documented so we all know what the pastoral plan is, but it's not going to be a document that we can take and read and move with, but we'll understand through this how the Spirit is moving us as a diocese, as clergy, religious, laity, at this point in our history, so that we can be the effective ministers in this part of the church that we are called to be. Wow. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I think it's something wonderful. I'm hearing from people that they appreciate the fact that they're being listened to. And I think it's important to allow people to speak, give people that opportunity. I think everyone knows that I think X, Y, and Z, and, you know, there you go. I think people know that maybe not X, Y, and Z are going to happen. But putting all of what people say together, I think the Spirit will help us take all of that and be able to move forward as a diocese. We're, you know, the bishop being the chief shepherd of this diocese, the vicar of Christ in our diocese, he is an opportunity for us, his role is an opportunity for us to come together and be united. I mean, our name is Corpus Christi, which means the body of Christ. I truly believe this is going to help us be our namesake, to be the body of Christ, to come together. We're not just scattered throughout the diocese and somehow there's a thin line that connects us, but we are connected totally. I mean, you know, so often the church is given the image of a ship or a boat, well, a ship, and we're not connected, you know, we're not each in our own rowboats connected by a rope to the ship. No, we're in the ship. We may be in different parts of the ship, that's true, but we are all in the same ship. I think that's that, you know, we're continuing to grow in our understanding of that so that we can truly be the body of Christ. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
Well, I remember when I filled out the questionnaire, and again, as you said, it was the first part of the year. But I think there might have been some questions related to people that are Catholics that maybe have not attended, you know, have not joined a parish or fell away from the parish. So is one of the hopes that this may bring some people back into the churches?
Oh, that's always a hope, I think, and you know, any time that people will return to the church. But it gives us an opportunity to hear from them and maybe see how we can more effectively make them feel welcome and walk with them. I mean, the Pope is using that phrase quite a bit. We're called to accompany or walk with people. We need to walk with those who have left the church for whatever reason. We just can't say, well, they're gone.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe this gave them a voice to really talk freely about why they left.
Oh, sure.
You know, and that helps all of us going forward.
Oh, certainly.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for that update. So we have, so we'll be hearing more about this in August.
Well, there'll be a summit, and then from that, we'll have, the hope is that we'll have a plan. So I would say in the fall, we'll be able to fine-tune, and we'll have a plan as so we can move forward as a diocese. And you know, it'll give us an opportunity for a few years to be able to move forward.
Move forward.
I mean, you use the example of strategic plans. Strategic plans usually carry 3 to 5 years, so it's not something you have to do all at once.
Right.
So the same thing is true here in this pastoral plan. We'll have a time scale, 3 to 5 years, and we'll have a direction we can move.
Wonderful. But thank you for the update.
Sure.
Well, Father Stemler, if you could just end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing, please.
O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you, Father Stemler, for being with us today, and thank you to our listeners for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a beautiful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
The preceding program, Our Shepherd's View with Bishop Michael Mulvey, was underwritten by the Corpus Christi Area Knights of Columbus, predominantly in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. We at KLUX HD appreciate the continued support of the Area Knights of Columbus, and in particular, their underwriting of this segment of Our Shepherd's View.